Hello, everyone. Welcome to the weekly Yap, the Yes And podcast hosted by Travis Thomas. This is podcast number 3. Sorry I didn't get the podcast out last week, but it was a short week coming back from my trip in Michigan and then a quick turnaround to a trip in D.C. But both of those trips were fantastic. Want to talk a little bit about both of them, but again, want to welcome everyone to the weekly Yap, which is the podcast for my Live Yes And brand, my company, Live Yes And, which is dedicated to helping individuals, teams, and companies develop a mindset based on purpose, authenticity, and life-transforming collaboration. Those three things, which are really important to me and I'm passionate about, and which is what I do with life coaching, team coaching, corporate coaching, and doing public speaking, corporate training, and working with whoever I can who really wants to adapt this yes and mindset. And this podcast is dedicated to kind of celebrating those ideas as we explore what it means to live yes and, as well as having some inspiring guests on, of which, now that I have the podcast up and going, I plan on having some featured guests here really, really soon. But real quick, before I get into sort of the big topic today, which I want to get into, is the unfortunate, the Oregon tragedy, the shootings of just over a week ago, week and a half ago. I want to get to that. But before that, I do want to just recap a little bit about the last week or so, starting with the wedding in D.C., which I had the honor to be the officiant for a wedding in Washington, D.C. with a dear college friend of mine. So this is the fourth wedding I've officiated. So it just goes to prove that you can really do anything over the internet. It took all of a few minutes to become a registered wedding officiant. So I am the holy Travis. I really can't say I'm the holy anything, but honored to be a part of that wedding for Dean and Jen Hess, and just a fantastic wedding with and got to see some great friends in the nation's capital, and got to kind of tour around and walk around a little bit and see some of the sights, and just a wonderful area and a wonderful trip, which kind of leads me to kind of the first story I wanted to talk about today, which is this idea of living yes and obviously I try to incorporate this idea of yes and into my personal life as much as possible. And here is here's the idea of there are no mistakes. And in improvisation, you try to live by this idea that there are no mistakes. So any mistakes that happen within a scene are just, instead of pointed out, they are built off of and justified and turned into something better. Really, really great on stage, but how do we apply that to real life? And if any of you have ever made mistakes, you can probably relate to it. So what happened is I booked a rental car in D.C. My wife and I arrived in D.C., you know, in the evening, Thursday night. Took a shuttle to the rental car agency, waited in line with a tremendous number of people. The line wasn't moving. It was kind of a rundown rental car place. And so by the time I got up there, you know, you just kind of see people at their worst. You see employees who are overrun. You see travelers who are spent and they just want their car. And so by the time I got up there, I could just kind of feel that vibe. You know, I was even feeling a little frustrated and impatient myself. And then they couldn't find my reservation. I was, I have the email confirmation. And only to look up my email confirmation and see that I'd made the reservation for 3 weeks later, which really wasn't doing us a whole lot of good right now. And so I figured, okay, well, you know, just get me a car that you have and hopefully it's close to the rate that I booked. But it's a holiday weekend in D.C. And so they're like, no, it's going to be at least twice as much as your reservation. So with my wife there, I was in that moment, to be honest, I was a little frustrated. The customer service was really poor, which I understand because they were slammed. What I was also disappointed in was I was frustrated. And so kind of feeling a little victimized, kind of self-victimized because I'm the one who made the mistake. And so I was beating myself up a little bit. And how could I be such an idiot? I can't believe I booked the wrong date. I don't think I've done this before. So beating myself up a little bit instead of kind of clicking into that yes and or that growth mindset of, all right, this is what's going on. What do we need to do right now to respond to it? And so my wife and I quickly were like, let's try Uber. You know, we live in Florida. And so there's really not a need for us to really rent a car or Uber at any time. And so neither one of us had done it. So we're like, hey, let's do Uber. So we walked across the street where there is a McDonald's, downloaded the app, and I hope this doesn't sound like an Uber ad, we had all these people. We actually had people, because we're standing in McDonald's out in front with our luggage, and people kept driving up. They're like, "You looking for an Uber? You looking for an Uber?" And we're like, "Wow, this is really easy to get an Uber." And we thought we had someone coming to see us. He canceled. And a woman who was in the drive-thru lane said, another one said, "Hey, do you guys need an Uber?" We're like, "Yeah, actually we do. They just canceled." She's like, "Great, let me turn on my Uber." And she picked us up, and we were Uber virgins no more. She gave us a ride to the airport. It was cheaper than a taxi. It was cleaner than a taxi. And it was much more interesting and friendly than a taxi. And so we probably used Uber 8-9 times over the weekend during the wedding. And some drivers were better than others, some cars were better than others, but it was always interesting to get to meet the different drivers and hear why they were doing it. And it was a little bit more personal, a little more interaction. It was great. So a huge, huge Uber fan, you know, wondering if I need to get Uber certified myself just to drive around and meet people down here in South Florida. Could be fun. But the bigger idea here was what started off as kind of being a really frustrating, discouraging situation with the rental car turned into just a great opportunity. And that idea of being able to yes and the moment. And looking back, it wasn't like, "Oh my gosh, I wish that hadn't happened." It was like, great, you know, we took a mistake, my big fat mistake, and we turned it into something positive and fun, and which was much more interesting than if the reservation had gone smoothly. So when I talk about living yes and in your personal life, that's really a small example of what I mean. And hopefully that's an idea of being able to, how we can take life's little, you know, little potholes and stumbles and turn them into something magical. If not magical, at least doable, entertaining, etc. So that was the DC trip. And so sending love to Dean and Jen as they kind of step off on this journey together on the same path, and excited for all of them. So well wishes to them. Want to touch on real quick, too, my Michigan trip where I got to go and speak at that wonderful Gear Up to Lead conference in front of about 1,100 people attended. It was fantastic. Packed in the Whiting Auditorium in Flint, the auditorium I grew up going to as a kid, and to be on stage speaking was really, really fantastic. And once I get the recording of that talk, I'll post it on Live Yes And for you guys to see. But just a great slate of speakers in the morning and afternoon. Chris McDougall, the Born to Run author and author of is it Everyday Heroes? Natural Born Heroes. There we go. Natural Born Heroes was the keynote in the morning. I actually got a chance to meet Chris the night before at a screening of the documentary, kind of affiliated with his book by director Sterling Norin. The documentary was called Run Free. I encourage you guys to look at that documentary. It's fantastic. But got a chance to talk to Chris quite a bit the night before, and he and I speaking the next day. It was great to catch up with him. But just great speakers from Dr. Bobby McCullough in Flint, Emily Sutton, who is a storm chaser in Oklahoma, Russell Jones, Angela Swantek. Aaron Donaghy, I think, stole the morning. He is a teacher right outside of Detroit. And he has his, in addition to teaching, he has his own kind of youth leadership program called the Go Effect. So check it out, goeffect.org. And he brought the audience to a standing ovation there in the morning with his message, which really resonated with me and resonated with a lot of people there. So wonderful speakers in the afternoon, including a schmuck named Travis Thomas. And the end of the day keynote was Charlie Batch, the former quarterback of the Pittsburgh Steelers, won 2 Super Bowls as the backup quarterback for Pittsburgh. He was the starter in Detroit for a while and had a super inspiring story of how he dealt with tragedy. And again, in a much bigger way than me dealing with Uber, he took one of the biggest tragedies any of us could experience and he turned it into a foundation that is transforming thousands and thousands of lives in the greater Pittsburgh area today. Just wonderful, wonderful message from Charlie Batch, an honor to meet him. Also, while I was in town, I got a chance to go into 3 middle schools, 3 really different demographics, socioeconomic middle schools in the Flint area, and was just just had a great time going in and speaking to fifth through eighth graders. I had 300 fifth graders from Swartz Creek Middle School, which, it's a lot of fifth graders in one place, but they were fantastic. The next day I went to Montrose Middle School, spoke to about 500 kids there, fifth through eighth grade. And then my cousin is a middle school teacher for Flint Carmen Ainsworth and spoke to 150 sixth graders there at Carmen Ainsworth. And the first thing I want to say is just how much love and appreciation I give to all of those teachers on a day in and day out basis. Working with kids in education, but really, you know, just being that face and being that person that these kids see more than anyone else, and just the genuine love. And even though whether it's, you know, how they're stuck into having to do things a certain way, at the end of the day, these are it's a group of people, teachers who love kids and truly have, you know, their best intentions in mind and are just doing wonderful, wonderful work day in and day out. But here's a key insight, which I thought was pretty fascinating from my talks in the middle schools. And with every group, I would start the talk off with who considers themselves a leader? And again, these are middle schoolers. So I'd say, who considers themselves a leader? And almost every hand would go up. It was crazy. Probably three quarters of the hands would go up. And I'd say, who considers themselves courageous? And most of the hands would stay up. And I just find that fascinating because if I were to ask that same question to a group of high school juniors and seniors, you'd be lucky to get a quarter of those hands go up. So what is happening? What is going on with kids from that adolescent age as we become older, where we start to see ourselves as not being leaders, as not having the skills or the qualities or the right to feel like we're leaders? And I guess I could get into a whole discussion again about kind of schools and the school system. But, you know, it's, and when we think about how we need to educate kids and we need to turn them into leaders, I think we have it backward. Kids see themselves as leaders. But whatever we're doing that is making them feel sort of overly judged or overly compared, that as they get older, they start to see themselves not as leaders. And the younger kids get it as we get older. And then as we become adults, let me ask you, do you see yourself as a leader? Whatever role you're in, and if not, why? Is leadership something that we just see as a title or as, you know, an authoritative figure? Or are we seeing the impact and the influence we have on a daily basis to be a leader of our own life, to be a leader of those around us, and to be the best possible example as we can for people? Like I would say at IMG all the time when I taught as a leadership coach, leadership is simply how you show up. Day in and day out, activity from activity, it's how you show up. And you're either sending a message that you're a good leader or you're not. But leadership is simply how you show up. And so as we get older, for some reason, we start to see ourselves as not being leaders unless we have the title to go with it. And I think that's a huge, huge crime that we are mentally preparing ourselves for. It takes away our sense of responsibility. It takes away our sense of accountability, whether it's at work or in relationships or just in society, to feel like, well, you know what, leadership is only for those in charge, or leadership is only for those who have the right title. And instead of thinking, what can I do today? How can I be a better leader of myself and the life I want to live today? And how can I be a better leader for those around us? You know, how can I have an influence or an impact in my community, even though I might not quote unquote be somebody? But we're all somebody. You know, we all have the ability to pick up a piece of trash. We all have the ability to put a smile on someone's face. We all have the ability to do a random act of kindness, to change the way we think about an issue, to change the way that we behave about an issue. And when we do that, we are being that leader that people look up to, that people will want to follow. And you know, the best thing we can do is set an example that people want to follow. And for us also is to find examples out there that we want to follow. And it's this, you know, it's really this lead and follow, give and take idea that, you know, if someone's onto something great, jump on that bandwagon, be a part of that movement. But if no one is doing something that you're passionate about, step out of your comfort zone and be the one to take that step and trust that people that you inspire will follow you. So to all those kids out there I worked with, anyone listening, please continue to step out, lead, get out of your comfort zone, fail again, try, fail. What did I learn? What can I do better next time? And then try again. And that is that growth mindset, live yes and mindset of what it means to be successful. So the last thing I wanted to touch on today for today's podcast is the Oregon shooting. And so a lot of you might be thinking, okay, what stance is Travis going to take on this? Is this a gun control issue that he wants to get on a soapbox about? And it's really not. I'm pretty transparent. I'm not a gun guy. I've never been a gun guy. It's not an insult to anyone who is. But I personally don't get it. I'm also not a hunter. So I don't get that side of things either. But that's me. That's my personal stance. From a society standpoint, I'm all about accessibility and availability. And I think with anything, the more accessible and available you make something, the easier it's going to be to get. And so when it comes to something like guns, I don't think they should be really easily accessible and available. Because again, if someone, you know, has guns for sport, or if it's someone for personal protection in their home, again, not to get into those issues again, but it just should not be an easy thing for people to get. I guess that's the extent that I would speak on my opinions on gun control. But we keep seeing shootings, as we see most of them by white males. We keep seeing shootings. It's increasing. It seems to be increasing as we see shootings happening in public places. And the issue always goes straight to gun control. And I think we're missing the boat. And the issue is not gun control. The issue is what is going on in people's lives that gets them to the point of this type of extremism, that this is their way for their cries to be heard. This is the way to get attention. And one idea that I'm very sort of passionate about when it comes to living with purpose and living with authenticity and living with passion is that I don't think we do a really good job, and I think this is me being nice, I don't think we do a really good job at all in Western society, in our culture, of setting a good path of what it means to find your purpose and to find passions that are authentic to each of us. I think we've done a really good job of painting a picture of what success looks like and what it takes to get there, from excelling in school to getting into a great school to getting into, you know, a great job where you can get promoted and make a lot of money and settle, you know, get the big house and get the big car and yada, 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 yada. But anyone out there knows, including those of you who have done that, that unless that pursuit is connected to something intrinsically motivated, something deep, a deeper why into why we do what we do, the successes are empty and it's they're hollow. And so we've done a really good job in painting a path and creating a way for people to become quote unquote successful without having an attachment to why we're doing this. And when we think of development as how we develop our young people, and again, going back to people who see themselves as leaders, how are we showing, or how are we setting the example of what it means to become an adult? And when you think about yourself, what in Western society, what are the rites of passage for becoming an adult? And unless you have a very deep religious affiliation, whether it's like a bar mitzvah or something where you really have to make a statement about yourself as far as who am I as a person and what's the contribution I want to make to society, we don't have that. So instead, we have these empty, shallow, superficial rites of passage of what it means to become an adult as far as losing your virginity, drugs and alcohol, getting your driver's license, becoming 21, And none of those say anything about being an adult. In fact, any of those can be, you know, attained at a very young age. And there's just no sense of purpose or mission or contribution behind any of those things. And so we're doing a really good job at driving people down a path of what it means to be successful, but we're not giving kids and adolescents the skills to really know what it means to be mindful, to be really mindful about the activities that we do on a day-to-day basis, to build in reflection, to reflect back on a day's work, to reflect back on an activity, to really ask those big questions. Why am I doing this? What do I really enjoy about this? If fear were no option, what would I really want to do with my life? And we're not building in time and space and reflection and intention for kids, adolescents, to really wrestle with those questions, explore those questions, and really decide for themselves as they move into adulthood, what are the gifts that I have? What inspires me? What motivates me? What am I passionate about? And how can I drive those in a direction that possibly turns into a career? You know, when you take those things that you love doing and you get good at doing those things and you think about, how could I do this in a way that is a contribution to society or a contribution to the world? There's your career. There's your profession. Take the thing that you love doing and blesses others and turn that into a career. That is what passion and purpose is what about. That, and if you are committed to that, you will find a way to get it done and you will be successful. And I can't guarantee the kind of zeros are going to be in your bank account, and I'm not sure what accolades it's going to get you, but those aren't going to matter anyway, because you're doing the thing that you love. You're doing the thing that you wake up in the morning passionate about, the thing that you are excited about. And isn't that what success is? Isn't that what happiness is? I'm not happiness as comfort, but happiness as motivated, inspired, and driven day in and day out to feel like I'm doing a thing that drives me, but is also making a contribution to the world. And when we look at all these shootings, it always comes back to lost souls. These were lost individuals who felt as outsiders or victimized or detached or bullied or so disconnected to who they really were, or feeling like they were such an outsider or outlier that it turned into anger, it turned into frustration, and it turned into desperation for attention. And we all see that. We all have pieces of that in us, not to that extent, where we feel that kind of pain, that kind of loneliness, that kind of confusion in our own lives, because we're constantly comparing ourselves or holding ourselves up to this superficial famous model or superficial idea of success that doesn't stop. It just does not stop. From the number of friends on Facebook to the number of likes on your Instagram accounts, which, you know, mine are pretty low. It's a game, it's a machine that just never ends. And so I guess the big weekly yap idea for today is to really think about for each of us. And again, how can I be a better leader in my society? How can I help in my society is asking these big questions for yourself. What inspires me? What motivates me at the end of my day, at the end of my journey? How do I want to be remembered? What does my legacy, what do I want my legacy to look like? How do I want my children to talk about me? How do I want my friends to describe me? Those are the things that are going to get us out of the bed in the morning to create change in our life and change in our world. And those are going to be the things that are going to connect us to mission and purpose and are going to bless others in the meantime. So that's it. That's all I have. This has been podcast number 3 for the weekly Yap. If you want more information about me, go to www.liveyesand.com, liveyesand.com. I would love to speak in as many schools as possible. Again, corporate training. And of course, a little shout out to The Jove Comedy. You can follow us on Facebook at The Jove Comedy Experience or at The Jove Improv on Instagram and Twitter, at The Jove Improv. We've got a show coming up on October 24th in Jupiter, and then another one on October 30th, our Halloween show, the night before Halloween. It's a good time. We'd love to see you guys there. And of course, always please subscribe to the podcast and to Live Yes And. And I look forward to speaking to you all again and hopefully meeting you some in person. Have a terrific, terrific Yes And week, everyone. Would it be true?